Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Ki Jai. Prem, Sri Gaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadha, Sri Vasadi, Gaur, Bhaktivinoda, Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan, Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Ki Jai, Mathura Dham, Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham, Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham, Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami, Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Sri Mati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktarinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Vitura, Sri Mati Bhaktivedanta Swami Kamala. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Kacharani, Nivashesha, Srinivadi, Pasjat, Chakris Kacharani. Hare Krishna, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. We're in chapter 15, which is called The Pandavas Retire Timely. We're on text 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We can say this together if you choose. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and of course, we're totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, who's translated it and given us the purport. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're on text 27 today. It has a little bit of a long purport. We'll go through it. Desha kalata yuktani.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Rittapo pasamanija. Prittapo pasamanija.
Prittapo pasamanija.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Govinda bihitani me.
Govinda bihitani me.
Govinda bihitani me.
Govinda bihitani me.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Prittapo pasamanija.
Prittapo pasamanija.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Haranti smaratas chittam.
Govinda, Govinda bihitani me.
Govinda bihitani me.
Please chant.
Desha kalata yuktani.
Desha
Nishta.
Samanicha.
Nitapa Pachamanicha.
Aranti Smaratas Chittam.
Aranti Smaratas Chittam.
Govinda Bhitani Me.
Govinda Bhitani Me.
Desha Kalarta Yuktani.
Desha Kalarta Yuktani. Nitapa Pachamanicha.
Haranti
Tapa, burning.
Upasamani,
extinguishing.
Cha,
and.
Haranti,
are attracting.
Smarata,
by remembering.
Chittam,
mind.
Govinda,
the Supreme Personality of Pleasure. Abhihitani,
narrated by,
may,
unto me.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Let's do our best to try to say this together. I know saying things together used to be an easy thing and everybody used to be in sync. And I've noticed that we're not in sync at all anymore. But anyway, we'll try it again, okay? Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Okay, can you shut the slide off for a second? Now we're having a test, a memory test. What did you hear in that verse? Oh, there. Good. So what did you hear? The verse. In your own words. Doesn't have to be, I don't mean exact. What did you hear from that verse? Yes, Guru Prasadji.
He heard the instructions, and now they're being revealed in Eastern realization.
Right. And who's the he?
Arjuna
heard the instructions, and now he's remembering them. They're being revealed to him. Anyone else want to add?
They relieve the burning heart.
They relieve the burning heart. The heart's burning. Have you noticed? It's burning. There's so many circumstances. And what was the word for burning? Remember that one, and the word for word? It was a word we're familiar with, but the translation in this place was a little different.
Tapa
means it generates a heat. The austerities generate a sort of a heat of whatever, I don't know. But anyway, in this case, it's translated as burning. Okay, what about the word impregnated? What was impregnated?
Instructions.
And so what does that mean? Without using the word impregnated, can somebody tell me what that means?
Injected.
Okay, injected. Anything else? The meanings will come out. They're full, they're growing, they're expanding, and eventually will come out. Yes, okay. Okay, so just one more time.
Time and space. There was something about time and space.
Time and space. Kalapatra. The time and space, the instructions that relieve the burning heart are applicable in all time, not just 5,000 years ago, not just in India, not just in that circumstance of the battle where the Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, that's what he's referring to. But in all times and in space. And Srila Prabhupada talks about that in his in the Bhagavad Gita and his introduction to the Bhagavatam also. He mentions how it's a quality of the human being. It's a quality of the human being to inquire as to how to overcome different difficult circumstances in life. And these instructions that have been imparted by the Lord are valuable in all times, in all circumstances, and in all places, because they will help alleviate the burning in the heart or the dissatisfaction that arise from different natural circumstances. Okay, here's the verse again. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and place. Space and place too, but purport by Srila Prabhupada. And as I mentioned, this purport is rather long, so I'm just going to take a paragraph at a time and then speak on it and go through the whole thing. Omaginatimidandasya jinanjina salakaya chaksu unmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with these same instructions that were impregnated in Arjuna's ears and heart when he heard from Sri Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada opened our eyes and millions and millions and millions of people's eyes with this torchlight of knowledge by revealing what the Lord has spoken without changing his meaning. Purport. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which were imparted to him by the Lord on the battle of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. So this is one of the characteristics of the information that's given in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes because we've been exposed to this process of bhakti by Srila Prabhupada, when we hear about the Astanga yoga practice or Jnana yoga practice, we think, why is he talking so much about that? Why doesn't he just go to bhakti? Just go to bhakti, which throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says is the most elevated path and the easiest to execute. But the reason that he talks about all these different paths is because they're bona fide ways of achieving gradual progress, gradual elevation, gradual enlightenment on the path of transcendental knowledge. And because, as we've all noticed, as we lived close together, not everybody's on the same page at the same time. How we say it in American slang. We're not all on the same page. We all have different desires. We're all on different levels of consciousness. So Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita a synopsis of various paths, bona fide paths, that people can, who might be attracted to different aspects of the truth in different forms and ways, that how they can grab onto something, follow it, and make progress on their path. So, the Bhagavad Gita being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely women, laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and the higher sections of the Vaishyas. So in reference to the vast compilation of Vedic literatures, that was nicely spoken by Sesha Prabhu a little bit on his Sunday feast lecture when he was talking about all the different categories and types of Vedic literature there are. We're familiar with this Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. There's lots of Puranas, there's lots of compilations, and as Prabhu was mentioning, there's Agamas and, you know, so many things and categories that we've never heard of. And what to speak of ever read, or what to speak of even desiring to read. So there's the Vedic compilation of knowledge is huge. We've been exposed to, in various parts, essence of this and the essence of that. Unfortunately, we get the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here. It's the essence of all the Vedic literature. So we get the distilled version. And even that, we find it hard to read or hard to study. And a challenge to apply in our lives. So imagine if you you were assigned to read all the Vedic literature. that would be a challenge. Okay, the problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace of all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So poetically described by Srila Prabhupada here. So Arjuna, what was Arjuna's difficulty on the Battle of Kurukshetra? Arjuna's difficulty, we could boil down, was to his attachment. And his attachment bewildered him as to what was his duty. His attachment to his family, his kinmen, his teachers. And those attachments aren't necessarily wrong, but they bewildered him as to what and how to execute his duty properly. His conclusion was, this is too difficult, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do it. In fact, not only am I not going to do it, but I'm going to give up all my desire for ruling the kingdom, and because I know I won't be able to do that if I don't fight. I'm going to give up all of those desires, and I'm just going to go live as a mendicant Krishna said, that's a, he did, well, it might appear as a very noble desire, you know, but actually Krishna says, it's bogus. It's bogus because your nature has been, you've been trained in a different way. And aside from that, I want this to be executed. So I want you to do, I want you to be the instrument to execute my will. And then he pointed out also, he said, and even if you don't, even if you refuse to be the instrument, it's still going to happen anyway, because I've already planned it this way. So this point here that Srila Prabhupada made, that Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements, which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So don't take that instruction lightly. Don't take that information lightly. When we have our different challenges in life through circumstance, through relationship challenges, physical challenges, mental challenges, economic challenges, you name it, whatever challenge, because these scriptures are living scriptures, they're living scriptures, they're not just dead books full of dusty old information. They're living scriptures, and you can we can consult them at any time. And you could even, more or less, if you choose, take the challenge. The next time there's some disturbance in your mind, for whatever reason there is, pick up the Bhagavad Gita and open it and read it. And Krishna will speak to you. That just reminded me of a story of Srila Prabhupada in Mexico, when I was in Mexico in 1974, skipping a lot of the story. But at the end of a darshan, Srila Kirti said to the devotees in the room, said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I hear the kirtan downstairs. That means you have to get ready to give Bhagavad Gita class. And so we all paid our obeisances because that was our cue to leave. We had to leave. And Prabhupada says, just a moment. And he reached over, and he was sitting at a low desk, and he had there was another bookshelf right near him with all the Bhagavatam lift right there. And he just reached over without looking, picked a book, and opened it just like that. And he said, you see, it says right here. And it was a point, it was Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti. Devahuti was speaking. But the point that he read confirmed some other points that he was talking about in his in the darshan. It was quite amazing. It wasn't like, which book is it? What page is it? You know, it's not that he had to have the whole thing memorized, but he just had that, he just opened it up, and Krishna will speak to us. The Lord will speak to us, and you could check that out. Okay, next paragraph. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he was not visible to material eyesight. So we read this morning after Mangal Arati, we read a little bit from Srinamamrita about the glories of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada was, the excerpt this morning was from Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada just started off on this very, very point. That it's not, the most important thing isn't to see Krishna. The most important thing is to hear him, to hear his instructions. Or to see anyone, or and especially Krishna, it's a limited program, you know, unless you're right, unless you're specifically qualified, and etc., you're not going to see Krishna. Or unless you come to the temple to see, whatever, it's a little bit limited. But hearing, we can always take advantage of hearing. And Srila Prabhupada said, was saying, as he says in many places, the most important sense is the sense of hearing, because you can use that sense in all circumstances and listen to the instructions that the Lord gave. And that way, have the Lord revealed to you in his, in your heart. Further on the purport, Prabhupada says, material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned soul in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. So that, take that to heart. I'm going to read it again. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself into the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. That's very important for all of us. In other words, we're never disconnected from the Lord. He's always trying to reach out to us. Just that we have to train ourselves to look for his kind hand in our life. Thus the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also an incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. So there's still a few more long paragraphs, okay, so hang in there. The faithful human being who is desirous of being liberated from the clutches of material existence can very easily take advantage of the Bhagavad Gita. And with this view, the Lord instructed Arjuna as if Arjuna was in need of it. But actually, it's us who are in need of it. In the Bhagavad Gita, five important factors of knowledge have been delineated pertaining to, what are the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita? Ishvara,
Jiva, time, nature.
Ishvara, Prakriti, material nature, and Kala, time, and karma. Okay, good girl, thanks. Five subjects of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada delineates them. One, the Supreme Lord, that's Ishvara. Two, the living being, that's the Jiva. Three, nature, Prakriti. Four, time and space, Kala. Five, the process of activity, karma. So we're just reading in our Bhagavad Gita study, we're in the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and the first two verses in the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna seven questions, and then Krishna answers six of those questions really quick, and he answers what is karma in a really succinct way. Karma is those activities which give us another body. Okay, out of these, the Supreme Lord and the living being are qualitatively one. The difference between the two has been analyzed as the difference between the whole and the part and parcel. Nature is inert matter, displaying the interaction of the three different modes, and the eternal time and unlimited space are considered to be beyond the existence of material nature. The activities of the living being are different varieties of aptitudes which can entrap or liberate the living being within and without material nature. All these subject matters are concisely discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, and later the subject matters are elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment. So just another point about those five subjects. So out of those five subjects that are delineated in the Bhagavad Gita, four of them are eternal and one is not eternal, and that's karma. Our karma is not eternal. It's entangling for millions and millions of lifetimes for sure, but it's not eternal and it can be changed by proper application of the process of bhakti yoga. Oh, here. Sorry, I didn't even realize the next sentence was going to say that. Sorry. Okay, anyway. Out of the five subjects, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, nature, and time and space are eternal. But the living entity, nature, and time are under the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is absolute and completely independent of any other control. The Supreme Lord is the supreme controller. The material activities of the living being is beginningless. Anadi karma phale. That's a prayer. I think it's Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Is it Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Thank you. Anadi karma phale. My karmic activity is anadi. It's eternal, practically speaking. Practically speaking, we've been in the material world for so long, we're called eternally conditioned. Although, in reality, we're not eternally conditioned. But it's been so long, and it's so difficult to trace out the beginning. But Prabhupada says, but it can be rectified by transferal to the spiritual quality. Thus it can cease its material qualitative reactions. Both the Lord and the living entity are cognizant, and both have the sense of identification, of being conscious as a living force. But the living being, under the condition of material nature called Mahatattva, misidentifies himself as being different from the Lord. The whole scheme of Vedic wisdom is targeted to the aim of eradicating such a misconception and thus liberating the living being from the illusion of material identification. So that's the essence of our entanglement in the material world. We've identified ourselves with material nature. We think this is our home, this is my body, these things are mine, this is what I want to do, I, me, mine. But actually, our real identity is different from this body, which is like Hare Krishna 101, you know. We're different from this body, and although we hear it in unlimited ways, in every single class, still, and even though we basically agree and understand the idea, still, the consciousness of I, me, and mine is so strong that simultaneously we're hearing that we're not our body, and we're thinking, I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I'm uncomfortable, or whatever we're thinking, based on the body. When such an illusion is eradicated by knowledge and renunciation, the living beings are responsible actors and enjoyers also. I'm going to read that again. When such an illusion is eradicated by knowledge and renunciation, the living beings are responsible actors and enjoyers also. There's a lot behind that sentence. Responsible actors and enjoyers. So oftentimes we like to complain about the situation that we're in. It's too hard. It's whatever. I want it changed in this way or whatever. Or this person treated me unfairly or whatever our problem is at the time that we think of it. But actually, we are responsible for the situation that we're in. It's not that person's fault, it's not my mother's fault, it's not my school's fault, it's not the president's fault, it's not the Democrat's fault, it's not the Republican's fault, it's not COVID's fault, whatever. We're responsible for the situation that we're in by our previous activities. We have placed ourselves in this situation. And therefore, we have the ability to interact with the situation in a way that we're able to transcend it if we choose that course. Or if we're lackadaisical in applying the philosophy to our lives as it's meant to be, then we just go along with the flow and act and react with the different circumstances, thinking it's that person's fault, it's this, it's that, and if I just could change this, and if I could just change that, then I'd be happy. But we're responsible. So we have we're the responsible actors and the enjoyers also. The sense of, this is Prabhupada's purport, the sense of enjoyment in the Lord is real, but such a sense in the living being is a sort of wishful desire only. This difference in consciousness is the distinction of the two identities, namely the Lord and the living being. Otherwise, there is no difference between the Lord and the living being. Prabhupada hardly ever says it like that. there's no difference. But here he's choosing to say it like that. The living being is therefore eternally one and different. Simultaneously, Achinta Beta and Abheda Tattva, simultaneously, one with the Lord in the sense that we're eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and the Lord is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, but he's the complete whole, unlimited, he has access to unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss, and unlimited everything, and we're just a small little spark, so we have not the same quantity, but the same quality. So there's still another, one more long paragraph, okay? So, here we go. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord and the living beings are both described as sanatana, or eternal, and the Lord's abode far beyond the material sky is also described as sanatana. The living being is invited to live in the sanatana existence of the Lord, and the process which can help the living being to approach the Lord's abode, where the liberated activity of the soul is exhibited, is called sanatana dharma. One cannot, however, reach the eternal abode of the Lord without being freed from the misconception of material identification. And the Bhagavad Gita gives us a clue, the clue, how to achieve this stage of perfection. The process of being liberated from the misconception of material identification is called, in different stages, fruitive activity, or karma yoga, empiric philosophy, or jnana yoga, and devotional service, bhakti, up to transcendental realization. And those three categories of the yoga process are delineated in the Bhagavad Gita, karma, jnana, and bhakti. Such transcendental realization is made possible by dovetailing all of the above items in relation with the Lord. And that's the beauty and of Krishna consciousness. Rishikesha, say the name. Can you say that better than I just said it? Rishikesha, Rishika, Devanam. Take our senses, which is what how we're embodied with our senses, and we employ them, we utilize them in the service of the Lord. And just by doing that simple process, not a process of just negation, not this, not that, but just by that process of taking our sensory needs even, our sensory needs and desires, and engaging them in the service of the Lord, that is the purifying process. And that's the wonder and beauty of bhakti. Prescribed duties of the human being as directed in the Vedas can gradually purify the sinful mind of the conditioned soul and raise him to the stage of knowledge. The purified stage of acquired knowledge becomes the basis of devotional service to the Lord. As long as one is engaged in researching the solution of the problems of life, his knowledge is called jnana, or purified knowledge. But on the realization of the actual solution of life, one becomes situated in the devotional service of the Lord, in bhakti. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter. That's right there at second chapter, when Arjuna is expressing his confusion and his, his identifying with the body. I'm here, these are my teachers, I don't want to fight my family and teachers, this is not good. I don't see how any good's going to come from this. So the Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter. And that was Krishna's response to Arjuna, right from the very beginning, that don't think that these bodies who you're going to have to contend with, the bodies of your relatives and grandfather and teachers, that's not who they are. They're a soul beyond that body. Anyway, so he gives them those basic instructions, starting with dehi no sminyata dehi. Komaram, from a youth, from a baby to a youth to an old age, all of those different stages of the body, that's the material aspect of life. But it's the soul that remains the same and stable throughout the existence of the living being, no matter what shape the body's in. I'm just starting this sentence again. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances, and that the outer covering of matter, the body and the mind, change for another term of material existence, which is full of misery. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, also mentioned in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna is explaining about the lifetime of Brahma, even the lifetime of Brahma is so inconceivable, 311 trillion 40 billion years. is the lifetime of Lord Brahma. And Krishna is saying, Dukalayama Shashvatam. It's temporary and it's miserable. You know, because it's in the material world, it's temporary and miserable. And Prabhupada says in the purport there that even though Brahma's lifetime might seem to us as incomprehensibly long, and that's why the demigods in general are called Amara, deathless, because compared to our short life, their life is so long. Srila Prabhupada says, his life is just like a lightning flash. 311 trillion, 40 billion years. It's just like a lightning flash in the scope of eternal time. And Dukalayama Shasvatam, full of miseries. Okay. The Bhagavad Gita is therefore meant for terminating all different types of miseries. And Arjuna took shelter of this great knowledge which had been imparted to him during the Kurukshetra battle. Hare Krishna, we made it through the purport. Jai. So that's the glories of some of the results from hearing of the Lord. So Arjuna, putting it now at the very end of class, putting it in perspective to the storyline here. Arjuna, when he returns from Dwarka, his dejection is incomparable. Yudhisthira never saw him look and act like that. And he's trying to figure out why is Arjuna so depressed. And he can only understand that he's dejected and depressed because Krishna has left the planet. And in the course of his executing his duties to assist the wives of Lord Krishna to relocate to a safer environment after Krishna left, he was defeated by just a band of rogues, you could say. Just a few little weaklings, they defeated him. So that's also quite significant. Prabhupada mentioned that earlier in the purport, how Arjuna was facing... He had performed so much tapa, austerities, and acquired so much physical strength and ability in martial arts that he was practically invincible. And yet, when Krishna wasn't there and Krishna withdrew withdrew Arjuna's accumulated power, Arjuna was more or less reduced to the strength of an ordinary person, which was it's quite a blow to the ego. It's quite a blow to the conception of who you are. And so in order to deal with that turmoil in his mind, now he's recalling the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which focuses one in on understanding our higher nature. So those are a few points there. Any discussions or comments? Can you remind me what your name is, Prabhu, when you get the mic?
Thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you. What's your name?
This whole episode reminds myself, and I'm sure all of Prabhupada's disciples, when he left the planet, how we went through the same turmoil, how we tried to encompass what is it that I am supposed to do now. And so it's a traumatic experience to have our spiritual guide suddenly leave us. But we should understand that it's Krishna's arrangement at that point. I have given you everything, Prabhupada said. At that point, we should understand, now it is my responsibility to represent him by not only understanding this responsibility, but how to share it.
Yeah, very nice point, thank you, very nice point. Any other points of discussion or corrections or additions that you'd like to present? Anyway, thank you very kindly for listening to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam being spoken. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Vanta Prabhupada, Jai.